Speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It's hard to believe that it's been 2 years already. It seems impossible that it has been 2 years since I arrived here at Holy Apostles, just trying to do my best to figure out how to do all of this. I stood up here on my first Sunday and introduced myself as your new curate. And that first Sunday, I saw the goodness of God in this place as you welcomed me in. And I believed in the work that God is doing in this place. Then you trusted me. You trusted me as I preached. You trusted me as I taught. You trusted me as I visited you and your loved ones in the hospital. You trusted me as I visited you in your homes and as I prayed with you over things that troubled you. And you trusted me as I baptized your children and led worship. You trusted me as I learned how to be a priest in God's church and in the world around me. You trusted me as I buried your loved ones and led you through Blake's summer-long sabbatical. You're welcome. And through many, many other events that came along in the life of a worshiping community. I feel like we've done a lot of learning and a lot of growing together. I'm not really sure how exactly to share my gratitude with all of you, so I'll just say this. It has been a pleasure and an absolute privilege to walk with you as your curate. The love that you've shown me and the support you've given me in my time here says a lot about who Holy Apostles is as a faith community and believers in the risen Christ. Know that I'm not just blowing smoke when I tell you that this community is truly good. The way you love and the way you welcome give this place its personality. It's the engine that drives you. But that's not all there is to it. Life in a community can be difficult. Our gospel tells us as much today. Today we see what can happen when a community is trying to figure out who they are and what they are. The scripture says that the disciples were behind locked doors hiding for fear of what had just happened to Jesus and what would happen to them as his followers. They're scared. They have just seen their leader be put to death. And they were trying to figure out how to process the news of his resurrection. One could imagine that the emotions were just all over the place. The disciples were likely not just scared, but also confused, uncertain, and sad at the loss of Jesus. How could they carry on? Could they carry on? Would they disband and go their separate ways, or would they have to stick together closer than they ever had before now? What would happen to them if they were arrested like Jesus was? Would they suffer the same fate as the one they followed? They were a community of friends, but one of them had betrayed Jesus. So who can they really trust if they can't trust their own? But then, something extraordinary happened. The one for whom they were grieving appears before their very eyes, in the flesh. They were used to seeing signs and wonders, miracles of water into wine, healing the lame, curing the sick. But this was something they never would have dreamed would happen. Jesus standing there in person. Before that day, they had come to faith through what they had seen. For them, seeing was believing. But today would be the ultimate sign from Jesus. The Son of God incarnate was with them and bestowed upon them the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, that would guide them going forward. Jesus prepares them for the future, and Jesus gives them a mission. But for whatever reason, Thomas wasn't there. We don't know if Siri gave him the wrong directions, or if he got the address wrong, or if his alarm clock went off a little too late. But really, it doesn't matter. When he arrived, the other disciples shared the news of what they had seen, but Thomas was incredulous. "Till I've seen and felt the holes in his hand and in his side, I won't believe. I'll believe it when I see it." Now, Thomas does get a little bit of a bad rap here, I think. We paint him as the doubter, but really, he just wanted to see what the others had seen. He had also come to faith in Jesus through what he had seen Jesus do. And so to expect him to just up and believe the other disciples is just being a little hard on Thomas, I think. Honestly, I think we would all be pretty wise to cut everyone a little slack here in this situation because of the extraordinary circumstances that they're in. But what do we do with this emotion-filled story of reappearance and skepticism and ultimately faith? I think especially on this day, it's important to look at this story in terms of the faith community that's there inside that room. Who do we have? It's a mix of people from different backgrounds who have come together for the common purpose of doing the work of Jesus that Jesus had set out for them. It was easier when Jesus was with them, that's for sure. They could rely on his words and his actions to guide them and to teach them. But that was then, and Jesus wasn't going to be with them anymore. Those emotions that I talked about earlier, those were all in play here, for sure, with the uncertainty of what life after Jesus would be like. But when Jesus appears, he gives his disciples a message and a mission. He gives them their next steps and what they're going to need to go out into the world and continue the work that they had started. His message, though, was what all of them, including Thomas, needed to see and needed to hear. What they were witnessing was real. Jesus was real. His message was real. The truth that he spoke that whole time was real. The love that he gave them and told them to give to others was real. And with that knowledge of the realness of the holes in his hands and his side and the assurance of the realness of what they had seen, they had a calling to go forth and continue the mission of God. That mission was radical. It was going to call them into places that would surely be outside their comfort zones and maybe even put them in danger. But they wouldn't be alone. With the Holy Spirit guiding them, they would be given all they would need to go out and share the message of love and forgiveness of God in Christ. That was their mission then. That is our mission now. And God is with us now. What we learn from this gospel reading is that sometimes we can feel as though the realness of Jesus is less than present. But this story teaches us that often it's within the community that we are able to see the realness of Jesus within our midst. What a lesson for all of us as we stand here today, a week removed from Holy Week and Easter. We too have witnessed the betrayal, Jesus' arrest and death, and we have felt the fullness of the mystery of the empty tomb. And this morning, alongside the disciples in that locked room, we have been given our mission. Just like the disciples had to go outside of those locked doors that they were behind to do the work of Jesus, so too must we go out our own doors to help others believe and see the goodness of God. Seeing is believing. I'll leave you today with one simple message. Believe. Believe because you can see the goodness of God in this place. I have seen it for 2 years here. Believe because you have seen the goodness of God in the faces of one another and in the good work that you do here at Holy Apostles. Believe because you have seen it in the love that you share with one another, as well as the welcome that you show stranger and friend. Have joy amongst yourselves in the good work that you do here. have joy in the gifts that you bring to this place. But never get complacent. It's easy to pat ourselves on the back and talk about the good things that we do, but my friends, the work of the kingdom is never done until the last day. Until that last day comes, you and I have the same mission. That mission is to make known the love of God and the good news of God in Christ in the world around us. It's a tall task. It can be a difficult task. But like the disciples found out, we know that Jesus is real and that the Holy Spirit is with us. So believe. Believe and be the place that screams from this hilltop to the surrounding community all around us. You are welcome here. You are loved here. You belong here. It is God who made you, and it is God who wishes you to come in here and gather around His table. Believe. Believe, but don't forget from whom and from where we get our strength to do the good work of God. It's around this table. It's around this table where you and I receive the strength and the courage to make those proclamations from this hilltop. It's around this table where we are reminded how much we are loved. Believe and be there for one another, just as the apostles had to be there for one another at the beginning of the church. Believe and go and serve and love and serve and love and serve and love some more. That is our mission as a community of faith, just as it was on the day that Thomas doubted and Jesus appeared to his faithful. Go and love, because you are loved. Amen.